In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, and our Holy Mother, the Church, has placed St. Joseph, this feast, here for us today to remind us that labor is good. So often we look at labor as a work, it's a job, it's something we don't want to do, it's distasteful, and we think of all kinds of excuses, all kinds of ways to get out of doing the work that we're supposed to do. And that is wrong. Or we spend all of our time daydreaming, if I only had that job instead of this job. And I think the world has really twisted our way of considering work. And if I can take you back, at least in thought, to the Garden of Paradise. When God created Adam and Eve, he put them in the Garden of Paradise. They were given a command. They had not yet sinned, but their command when they were first created was to govern the Garden of Paradise, to rule over it, to name the animals, to keep everything in order. But not only that, they were commanded to expand the Garden of Paradise. Go forth and subdue the whole earth. This order that you have here in Paradise, expand it throughout the whole world. That was their job. That was the work God had given them to do. Not because they had sinned, but because this is what God created them to do. Work became evil or hard or difficult after we sinned. Because we had sinned, now we have to eat our bread by the sweat of our brow. The Garden of Paradise that would obey Adam. Now when he tills the earth, it brings forth thorns and thistles. It's difficult. And our Lord has come, and he has told us that we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and come follow him. This is the work, this is the labor that's there before us. It's distasteful, it's hard, it's difficult. But Christ has promised, if you will do this for the love of me, I will make that cross light. I will make it sweet. I will make it a joy. Now I ask you to consider the labor that's before you. What is your job? What work do you have to do? Is it hard? Is it difficult? Is it heavy? Is it bitter? Or is it light? Is it sweet? Is it a joy? And the only difference, what changes the cross from bitter to sweet, is our attitude. Am I doing this for the love of God? Or am I doing this for myself, for the love of myself, for the love of money, for the love of my family, whatever it may be? Very often that job's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult. The difference is in our attitude, our outlook. What do we consider when we think of our labor or the labor that's before us? I'm too good for this. Well, the foster father of Christ was not too good to be a carpenter. There is no labor that's really beneath us. All labor is good. And all of it can get us into heaven. If we will just embrace that cross for the love of Christ. Why am I doing what I'm doing? I've hinted there's really two reasons. Either we love ourselves and we're working for ourselves and material gain in this world. We're working for earthly things, or we're working for spiritual things. If we're working for earthly things, we're never going to get enough. It's always going to be too hard. It's always going to be difficult. If I change my attitude and say, I want to do this for the love of God. I want to do my best for the love of God. I want to do this so that I can get into heaven. Then we put forth an even greater effort, because our Lord said, be ye perfect because your Father in heaven is perfect. I must now strive to do my best. Not because I want a raise or expect a raise or I want a pat on the back or I want to buy a bigger home, more property, a better car. No, I work harder and I give my best because I am doing it for heaven. I am laboring for the love of God. And for this reason, I do my best. If that is my intention, and I seek first the kingdom of heaven and its justice, its glory, everything else will be given me besides. Don't worry what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear, or where you're going to live. Those who do not know God, that's what they worry about. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be given you besides. Don't worry about those things. Worry about getting into heaven. If you labor for heaven, you will gain eternal happiness, but you'll get everything else here on earth besides. If you're really doing your best for the love of God, you will make enough to earn your daily bread, to have sufficient clothing, sufficient housing, sufficient transportation. You'll get all that other stuff. And that's all it is stuff, because you can't take it with you. You have nothing to worry about. God will provide all that you need in this world. If you are really concerned about pleasing God and getting into heaven, you say, what work must I do? I know all the counselors tell the children to find a job that they would like to do. If you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. But tell me, which job isn't going to get boring? Which job isn't going to get old? Which job are you not going to wake up one morning thinking, oh, I got to do this again? They all get old after a while. They all get boring. And it's not so easy just to go from this to that to that to that to that. Because then you build up no seniority. You get very few benefits. You've got to stick with the job, no matter how bitter and distasteful it may become. And so while it may sound nice to find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life, I suggest you should learn to love the job you have and you will never work a day in your life. If you're looking for something that's going to make you happy, you're going to be chasing your tail like the little dog going round and round in circles. You never get it. Learn to love the job you have. If God makes you a ditch digger, then dig ditches for the love of God. If you're a carpenter, work your trade for the love of God. And before long, you will find that you're happy doing this job. Our biggest problem is this, I don't know what you call it, envy or jealousy. We look at someone else. Oh, they don't have to work as hard as I do. They got life so much better if only I had their job. The blue-collar worker wants to be the white-collar worker. And the white-collar worker says, oh, if I didn't have all these headaches, how nice it would be to be a blue-collar worker and just put in my 8 hours and go home and leave the job that behind. You can't. That's not my job. I have to do this. I have to take my job home with me. I have to put in more hours than anybody else. It's not fair. Look at those teachers, how easy they've got it. They get off 3 months of the year. Oh, that's a cushy job, right? Well, I think the teachers might have a different idea. They don't put in 8-hour days. They put in 10, 12, 14-hour days. They got their 6 hours with the children, but then they've got hours grading papers, filling out reports, and doing this, and extracurricular activities. Pick any profession. It's the same. It's got its benefits. It's got its crosses. They don't have it any better. You want to live somewhere else in the world? You think somewhere else is going to be better? They've all got their problems. Hawaii sounds like a beautiful paradise, doesn't it? Until you spent a few summers there. Florida sounds great in the wintertime. But the mosquitoes and the humidity are unbearable in the summer, and you have to spend all the day inside in the air conditioning. There's nothing perfect here in this life. There's no perfect job. But we can make it perfect for us. If we will take the task before us and do our best. And why should we do our best? Because we're doing it for God. For the love of God. And then we get heaven and we get all the benefits here on earth as well. And one of my pet peeves is everyone is envying everybody else. They've got it better. If only I could be that. If only I could be this other thing. The little children want to be grown up. The grown-ups wish they could be little children. Men want to be women. Women want to be men. Everything is inverted. Nobody is satisfied where they are. No one can find happiness because we're always looking over there, somewhere else. And I ask you to think of a machine, any machine and all the parts that go to make it up. You have a bicycle, you children, you have a bicycle. Octavius, do you have a bike? Does it work well if you take the tire off the rim? What if we switch places with your handlebars and your wheels? You could use your wheels to steer, couldn't you? And we could use the handlebars to ride on. It'd be foolish to switch the parts, right? Maybe we could use that little gear that the chain goes on. We could use that for a wheel. It's round. Would that work? Not very well. If you want your bicycle to work well, you need the handlebars to be where the handlebars belong and to do what handlebars are designed to do. You need the wheel to be where the wheel belongs and to do the things the wheel needs to be doing. and you need the tire on that wheel. You need everything in its place, doing what it was made to do. And when everything is in its place, everything is doing what it's supposed to do, the machine works well. It is amazing. We take it for granted. And a bicycle is pretty simple compared to an automobile, but you get in the automobile, you turn the ignition, and you drive, and you don't give a second thought to all the pieces that are working together, each doing their own part. And it would be foolish if you could imagine them to be alive. And the piston deciding, I don't want to be a piston anymore. I want to be something else. I'm going to stop doing this job because I don't like it. It just takes one little part to fail, and the entire machine is brought to a halt. Now I ask you to think of all of humankind, all of mankind throughout the whole world. We were created by God, created for a purpose. Does Aubrey know why God made her? God made me to know him, love him, and serve him, but why? What's the purpose of our life, of our bodies? Do you know, Eddie? You didn't. To get to heaven. Very good. God made us to be happy with him in heaven. Our goal is to get ourselves in heaven and all those around us. That's this machine. And each one of us has a part to play in this machine. And it's useless for a little boy to say, I'd rather be a girl. They've got it so much better. You'll never be a girl. That's not what God made you to be. The handlebars will never be a wheel on a bicycle. Oh, I'm sure you could get a hammer and bend them out and make them kind of round. But they will never be a wheel. The little boy will never be a girl. The little girl will never be a boy. The man will never be a woman. The woman will never be a man. Oh, yes, you can make them fill the position, but they will never succeed. It will never work well. And for the adult, they will never be a child, but the child may someday be an adult. But right now, they're not an adult. When the child says, I want to be the adult, and I want to be the parent, and I want to give the rules, I want to give the orders, things are not going to work out very well. And for the parent to say, well, I'd rather be the child. Okay, you're in charge, you fix dinner. And we can have marshmallows for supper. And chocolate until everyone is sick. It doesn't work out very well that way. The system fails. And if the garbage collector stops collecting the garbage, have you ever thought about what would happen? It would be a real mess. And there are places and cities where the garbage collectors went on strike. And it was horrendous. It was terrible. And everybody says, oh, we really need those garbage collectors. They're very important. While the rest of the time they would say, oh, they're just a garbage collector. They're nobody. Every little screw, every little bolt in your bicycle, it's necessary. It's there for a reason. Every little person in this world is necessary. We don't have extras just to throw away. every soul that God creates, it's necessary. And when we would decide, I don't want that baby, we'll kill that baby, we'll abort that baby, we have no idea what we're doing. We're throwing away an essential piece to this machine called humanity. I know it's not a perfect example, but I'm trying to make it so we can understand it, so we can grasp it. What can this little child do that's so important, that's going to change the world? It's not about changing the world, it's about getting into heaven. You don't have to be a genius to get into heaven. Oh, but see, we must kill this little child because it's not healthy. This child should be destroyed before it's ever born because it's going to be a burden to society. It's going to cost money. It's going to be expensive. It's going to put a crimp in our going on vacations and having fun all the time. We're going to have to spend a lot of time going to doctors, taking medicines and treatments, physical therapy. We're going to have all these problems. So it's better this child would never be born. And that's what so many in the world think. But if you listen to those who have children that are handicapped, that have their difficulties, they tell you that these children are the joy of their life, that these children bring more to their family than a healthy child ever could have. It is these children that are the most grateful. It is these children that seem to be always smiling, even in the midst of all their pain and suffering. These children appreciate the good times because they know what it is to suffer. They know what pain is, and so they are more alive, if you will, and their joy and their happiness, their appreciation. And we want to just throw that peace out of this machine. We don't need that. That's an extra part. It's no good. If you've ever put something together and you found out there's extra pieces left over, if something's wrong. May not be apparent right now, but later on down the road, you will see. And I would dare say those with special needs, those who are handicapped, have the most to give because they are a lesson to the rest of us. We have a lot to be grateful for. We have a lot to do. Christ has made us to be in heaven. God has created us at a certain time in history, in a certain place in geography, a certain sex in this world, a certain age in this world. He's given us a certain job to perform in this world. Let us embrace what God has created, where God has put us. Take up that cross bravely for the love of God. Carry it. Yes, you'll have to deny yourself. I'm not going to be a movie star, an actor or actress. I may not have lots of money. Forget all of that. Look at what God has given you. Be grateful for what He has given you. And do the job that He's placed before you. You're a laborer, labor. You're a student, study. Do your work. You're a teacher, teach. You're a mother, be a mother. You're a father, be a father. You're a child, be a child. You're a carpenter, be a carpenter. whatever it is, whatever honest labor that's before you, put aside all the envy, all the jealousy, all the resentment, and say, ah, this is the cross that's before me. This is what God wants me to do. Embrace it for the love of Him, and He will make it light. He will make it sweet. He will make it a joy. There is no reason for you to hate your job. The only reason you hate it is because you have not yet really learned to love God. You have not yet really learned to serve God. The most boring of tasks can be the opportunity for you to serve God with even greater fervor, greater devotion, to become more perfect. Be thankful you've got a simple, mindless, meaningless job that you can do over and over again because you can become perfect at it. At least you can become better. If you're a garbage collector, be the best garbage collector you can be. If you're a digger, be the best digger you can be. If you're a boss, be the best boss you can be. If you're an employee, be the best employee you can be. You're a student, be the best student you can be. You're a child, be the best child you can be. Don't try and be something you're not. Don't hate someone who's different. But see that everyone has a place. Everyone has a purpose. Don't hate them for it. But be grateful. And yes, there are some people, I think, that have been created just to be the thorn in your side. Don't hate them. God sent them there to be the thorn in your side. You need that thorn in your side. Thank God that He loves you enough to give you that thorn in your side that you need. But don't hate the thorn. It's not the thorn's fault that it's a thorn. With people, it might be, but don't hold it against them. Perhaps you could pray for them. Perhaps you could help them not to be such a thorn. Not because you want relief, you want to be rid of this thorn in your side, but because you want that thorn to one day get into heaven. And perhaps it will be easier if it's not a thorn. It will be easier for it to get into heaven if it's not a thorn. If it's not so sharp. If it's not so bitter. If it's not creating such a problem. Help it to be better. Pray for it, but don't hate it. Don't seek to destroy it. But love everyone. Love everything. Look around you. You have a lot to be grateful for. God has blessed you tremendously. This world is a beautiful place. There's a lot of great things in this world for us to see and to do. But remember, all these things are secondary. God didn't make us for all of these things. God made us for heaven. He made all these things to help us get to heaven. And the devil wants all these things to keep us from getting into heaven. Who's going to win? God or the devil? Will the things of this world help us to get into hell, or will they help us to get into heaven? The choice is ours. God gave us a free will. And all these things can be for our good if we will love God. If we will play our part in this world, in this life that God wants us to play, that God wants us to do that. and everything will be well in eternity and here on earth. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.